When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, and welcome to And Just Like What? The Sex and the City Rewind Podcast,
where Sex and the City superfans tell the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith.
And we're your co-hosts.
We're your co-hosts who, and now I'm in my 40s.
I know. Happy birthday, Meredith.
I wish I looked like Samantha in her 40s, because wasn't she always like 5 or 6 years older?
Yeah, I think she's like a solid 5 years older.
At least, yeah.
Well, you know who just turned 59?
Almost, SJP.
Yes, SJP looking, isn't she just divine? She's getting a lot of coverage right now.
I love her, and I also love how I feel like she's aged really naturally.
Oh, so beautifully. Yes. Kind of like that New York way that I would expect New York women to age, you know, just really naturally compared to the LA women like this episode.
With all the fillers. Like, remember there's that? I feel like we're moved out of the fillers stage because the fillers were just intense. Like, everyone's face looked so swollen and shiny. Like their
marionettes.
Faces are, yeah, like marionettes, or like their faces are boils ready to be popped.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, if you accidentally punctured the cheek, it would just erupt on you.
Ew.
I think filler is getting done in better ways now. I think they're just learning. The more you know, right?
Do you think? I feel like people aren't doing it anymore. I feel like people now are taking, they're doing like the, what's that? Like the Gua subcutaneous. Sha. They're like pulling out the fat.
Oh, like buccal fat, moving around fat.
Buccal fat, yeah.
So yes, happy birthday. What did you do? You went away. I think you did something fun.
Well, we went for this really delicious, there's this new Mexican restaurant in the city that we went to, and it was amazing. Mm. And then I went to Canmore. I went to the mountains.
Lovely. We had a little.
It was lovely. Canmore has kind of a funky vibe right now. It's become kind of like an exclusive community for like 55 plus
really
white people. Yeah. And so it just feels like my kids got glared at a lot for like standing in the sidewalk.
What? No.
It was a bit weird. There's just some angry white men there.
No way.
With a lot of money.
Really not good. Yeah.
Who are litigious.
They're litigious. They're decked out in all their ski gear.
And they're bored, and so they're like, they want to sue people for parking near their driveways. I feel like my Canmore was like their escape to LA trip, except I had the opposite of a Brazilian. I like gave myself more hair.
You actually let it grow? You let it grow out a bit?
I actually like bought a Merkin off Amazon.
I don't know what a Merkin is.
I was going to say, do you know what that is?
No clue.
So a Merkin's like a pubic hair wig.
No, it is not. There's a name for that?
Yeah, it's from like, I think it's from Renaissance or something where it's supposed to be sexy. So they'd like get more hair on there. Yeah,
oh,
look
really?
It up.
You know, this era of LA, it was definitely, and just in general in pop culture, it was a hairless time. Everyone was hairless. Men were shaving their chests. Women were going full Brazilian.
This is early 2000s. This is like peak Britney Spears, peak Christina. Peak baby bodies.
Yeah, peak baby bodies and like tanned bodies and
peak and toddler confidence.
Peak toddler confidence.
But you're like in your 30s.
It's not good. Like Paris Hilton.
Exactly.
All of this stuff. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And actually that whole subplot about the fake Fendi.
Yeah.
Fake bags. Big. People had a lot of fakes. And now I don't think anyone, I don't know one person who would ever in a million years carry a fake bag. And just it was kind of trendy back then.
Just because they're tacky?
Well, fake bags are. Like everyone I know.
Can you tell the difference? Can you actually tell the difference?
I think you really can. But the thing is, I think the culture shift now is that young people. Okay, I was in Sephora the other day. Uh-huh. And it's all like, you know, tween, like 11-year-olds buying Natasha Denona and retinols.
Did you read? There was like a big media storm about that because I think Sweden has now banned the sale of anti-aging skincare products to children.
As they should. But the spending power of even children is crazy. I have a young niece who's in her early 20s who bought herself a Louis Vuitton bag. Well, 20 years ago, that would have been a fake Louis Vuitton bag. But now that's the standard. Like,
what? Just
everyone has a Louis Vuitton or a Goyard and everything. And they know they want the real thing. They want luxury. They want the most expensive.
I have a friend. She's like a super boss. She's very driven and very successful. And she has been investing in bags for a long time. And I think that's part of it because she's like the resale value is so high.
Oh, it's wild.
But I think cheap is fair to say. I just can't comprehend why you'd spend that much money. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I think that logoed, those branded bags and the It bag, it goes in waves. Like sometimes it's really popular. Sometimes it's not at all. Like remember
sometimes it looks tacky.
Sometimes it looks so tacky. Remember when like No Name was so tacky. If you had a branded thing, you're tacky.
Yeah.
Like Everlane, Club Monaco, all these brands that there's no logo at all.
Yeah.
But it's kind of going back into this logo thing, I think.
It's like walking capitalism.
Truly walking capitalism. I think there's a something like maybe a fun factor in it somewhere, but if it's oppressive like this, or if it's creating financial hardship, which it usually is, and for sure is with Carrie, where she talks about not being able to afford drapes in her apartment. Yes. Look at your outfits, Carrie.
Yeah.
There's something going on here. Okay. Well, what should we dive into it? We're doing Sex and Another City, part two.
Yeah. So we watched Escape from New York,
mm-hmm.
Which I, again, this is like another middling episode.
Did they need a sequel?
It's fun to be in LA. I'm glad that the whole gang is together. Mm-hmm. There's some things in this that did not age well.
No, lots that didn't age well.
Like the Playboy Mansion and Hugh Hefner, which were like, Gross. Now we know that there was a lot of people who were there because they were coerced to be there without their consent and were drugged all the time. So I was like, it's not really sexy. It's not fun. Seems gross.
Even back then I was watching and I'm like, the young Samantha, her hero was Hugh Hefner?
Yeah.
How is that possible? Even back then I'm like,
but I don't know. In the 2000s, that tracks for me. Like at this time, the perception of like peak male power sexuality.
Yeah.
And that tracks for me.
Gazing at the female body was very, you know, Maxim magazine and stuff like that was very.
Do they still have Maxim?
I don't know. I don't think so. They couldn't. Maybe the calendar or something or like maybe special issues. Mm. No clue. There were a couple like that. Okay, so
where do you think this ranks in Vulture?
Last one was like 60, like smack dab in the middle, like 67 or something, right?
Yeah, it was like bottom third.
This is worse than that one. So I'd say it's bottom fifth. So it's about 80.
Okay. they're literally right next to each other. Escape from New York is 59th, and then Sex in Another City is 60th. Because all they say is like more LA fun, including a jaunt to the Playboy Mansion. Because that's kind of it.
It's LA fun, but there's no character, nor there's no plot development. There's no plot advancement here other than Charlotte. Charlotte gets a plot advancement with Trey. Because of the sexless marriage. It's very depressing.
Their outfits are amazing, though. I love their looks.
The outfits are good. It looks so good. The episode looks really good.
It looks really good. Do you want me to read the synopsis?
Please do.
In LA, Carrie feels naked after a reputed?
Reputed?
reputed wax beautician, the famous but unintelligible Alicia.
That's their starter? Okay.
Yeah. Gave her an extreme Brazilian. Miranda meets with her former nerdy and jaded New Yorker friend, scriptwriter Lou, who seems to be happy after moving to California. At a premiere, Sam and Carrie refused entry into the after party after skipping the movie itself. That seemed like a weird move. Mm-hmm. Cast off the red carpet, Carrie meets hunky Keith Travers, who purports to be Matt Damon's agent with connections. And the two friends join him in the VIP room inside. Now that we know who he is, how did he get into the VIP room?
I know, I don't get any of that. Yeah.
Back in New York, Charlotte grows tired of Trey's performance issues and decides to join the girls in L.A. Carrie and Miranda, disappointed by the respective men they've met up with, and Charlotte, in an effort to enjoy herself away from her man problems, agree to join Samantha at the Playboy Mansion after being invited by her idol, Hugh Hefner.
That's a better synopsis than most.
It was a pretty good synopsis.
Yeah, that's a pretty good synopsis. So yeah, we start out with Carrie, you know, she talks about L.A. being perpetual sunbathing. That's another mm-hmm. passe thing to see. So she gets this bikini wax and they go full Brazilian on her. And I guess she's never done this before.
So Miranda is a partner in a law firm. How was she able to be in LA for an entire week?
Oh, good point.
Sam has her own PR business. How was she able to be? How?
Even Carrie, like, this is her second week. She burned every bridge last week.
Yeah, like, I don't.
What is she even doing there anymore?
It's a ridiculously long holiday.
It's a very long holiday.
Yeah, why is she still there?
Yeah, why is she still there? She didn't do any work.
Am I jealous? Of course.
Yeah.
But I'm also baffled.
I guess they just tagged on vacation onto the work week.
Maybe they're working. I don't know. I don't get it because, like, you can't really work remotely.
But remember, in Just Like That, when Miranda goes to LA, she really takes to LA. It does something to Miranda. Like she
goes right
from great heights to great lows in LA.
Yep, she's much more bohemian in a Just Like
she
That.
She really is. Like, she's like, in Just Like That? Yeah, really is. She's a lot kind of looser. Well, remember, she kind of loses her free will.
Yeah.
So that's quite a shift in character for her.
She's like a horny red leaf blowing in the wind.
Don't you find that, like, this Brazilian propels Carrie into this horny odyssey? In LA, it's just not like her.
Not like her, no. But I mean, I like Vince Vaughn.
Oh, Vince Vaughn is so cute when he's young, but
he's very cute and tall.
His lips and tall. Yeah, like,
he talks a good. Oh, what do they say on Love Island in the British one? He has good banter.
He has good banter. He would make a very good rapport. Yes. Easy, fast friend with him.
Easy, fast friend. I also feel like I would get exhausted by him because I was like, when are you off? You know, like, when do you turn off?
I also thought, again, I'm still in the Dateline mentality. Really, Carrie?
Everything is stranger danger for you. Yeah, LA is not a safe place.
You can't Google anyone yet, and it just doesn't seem safe. I just listened to a Dateline about a man who said he was casting for the next Bond girl, and not good. And this is exactly the same ploy. Like, this man, this Vince Vaughn character is posing. This is a truly predatory behavior because he posed as someone with power and someone who's influential and much more desirable on paper than he really was, and got to have sex with Carrie. Is that consensual?
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, Carrie was having fun. I don't know.
True, but not when Carrie Fisher walked in on them. That's a very good one. Carrie, and she's trying to build inroads. Okay.
Okay. Well, who should we start with?
Well, Miranda. I guess that's the first one when she meets up with Lou.
Yeah, so Miranda's friend Lou, which I like how he spells his name because that's how we spell my son's name, except with an extra L. So Miranda meets up with her friend Lou, who's at this place called the Flowing Tree.
Don't you have friends like this when you may have been a different person in the old days and you've changed or they've changed and there's just really nothing there?
Yeah, he's changed and she comes across as like a bitter bitch.
She really comes across as a bitch, and they illustrate this East-West divide so well in this moment.
I think because they're both such power cities that there really is such a distinct divide between New York and LA.
There are different identities for sure.
100%. And I'm not into LA. Do you know why? Yeah. It's like Vancouver has kind of an LA. Obviously, they're not comparable, but they're more similar. Vancouver is like LA light. It's like the Canadian mm-hmm. version of Vancouver.
Yes.
I mean, Pacific Northwest version. So it's like rainy and people are depressed. But I worked for a bunch of yoga studios out there, and it's just, it's, there's something so performative and surface level about the energy in some of these Pacific cities.
Yeah, I can see that. You know? Yes.
It doesn't feel rooted in, and maybe it's because there's not as much history, and because it is a performative place, but this like, it's all rooted in this quasi Eastern religion spirituality that just rings so false to me.
There aren't many longtime Vancouverites or Los Angelesites. Like, there's no real shared historical mentality of the city. There's a lot of newcomers and a lot of people seeking their fortune there or their dream.
And I think there's some really strong and diverse immigrant communities.
Yes.
In LA. But it's just, I'm thinking of the people who go there specifically to make it, you know?
Yeah, and
it's
none of this is represented in what we're seeing here.
Right? No, this is all like the you know, the people who go there to like make, yeah, exactly. I'm going to be famous. And it's like, well, it's actually, no, you probably won't. Yeah. And it's ultimately, again, it's like chasing the capitalism dream, which is empty.
And it's so interesting that you said it's that performative element. Whereas in New York, you're just a little irritated. You're going to be a little more real. You're going to be real. A little more like,
you're living there.
It really is. Yeah.
You are living in that city.
You are exactly. You're living there. You feel like you own a little bit of that city if you live there.
Yeah, it, you're part of the rhythm.
Yeah.
It's more grounded. You're on the street. We're in LA. It's like all this idea of like, oh, I follow the secret to manifest my dreams. And it's just like vapid.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that harsh?
I think that it's harsh, like, but it's like to illustrate the difference between LA and New York and what Miranda is experiencing with Keith. No, not Keith. Lou. Yeah. It's ultra vapid.
Yes.
Because the man doesn't. So ultra vapid.
So basically what Miranda learns is Lou's lost a lot of weight. He seems really happy. And so she's trying to be less judgmental and like get on the Lou train. And they go for a steak dinner. And then she realizes he's lost so much weight because he only tastes his food.
He's doing the Dolly Parton diet where you just chew and spit.
He chews and spits it out.
Like, it's fake. It's fake. And that's one thing that this episode really does illustrate is like the difference between real, authentic, and fake.
Yeah, that's the whole theme.
It's really well done, right? Where even we go to Samantha's storyline about just coveting and really wanting this fake Fendi bag, and it backfires on her because owning that fake one is disingenuous and it didn't matter.
Like, I don't have an issue with the actual fake one. I say, like, get a deal where you can, because from what I understand, these bags are made in the same factories where the fake ones are made. It's just...
No, I don't think
so. Are you sure?
Yeah.
But aren't they all made in China?
No. Oh, no, not at all. I know a lot about this just because of my history. Like, an Hermes bag is made from start to finish with a Hermes leather artisan in France.
Okay, Hermes, sure. One person.
And, like... If it says made in Italy, made in France, yes. And they are. Like, luxury bags are. And a lot of the issue that I have with the whole, like, fake culture and fake bags is that those are the lowest of low factor. I think that's the lowest of low production in the world for, like, human rights and labor and things like this. There's totally unchecked. Who is that? What is it?
You know,
there's not even a brand to stand behind it.
Yeah, I could see that. How it's like these people are, it's like slave labor who's selling them. Okay, I get that.
Maybe there are certain bags that are definitely you're buying and they're made in China, and the other bag is made in China, and you're like, I don't understand which of these is maybe a good place that it was made and they were treated fairly in the other. But I would say, like, you are paying a lot for first world labor. For your luxury bag.
And I could see that. Like, knowing some of the small companies we've worked with here, like, it costs more to pay people living wages because we should pay people living wages.
Not to be didactic, but when you go and look at this guy that goes to the valley and you know, the experience. You're also paying for experience. Like, they could have been killed by those dogs.
Yeah, you're right. So they drive 2 hours to the valley, and then Carrie decides she doesn't want a fake bag, which, sure, fair. She got to smoke the whole time, so I'm sure it was worth it.
She was happy in that valley. I think she could have stayed, for sure.
Yeah. And then our good friend Charlotte.
And Charlotte, yeah.
Charlotte goes to... Oh, I feel so bad for her. What an embarrassing...
Like, she hasn't had... She's married to Trey. It's been a month. She has not had any sex.
She's not had sex with him. And he seems... Like, what is going on?
I think he can tell himself anything and just go with it.
Like, he can live the lie. So they go to this black tie affair, and she's like, oh, we look so beautiful. So this idea, again, of being fake, that what they present to the world, they're this beautiful couple. Is not what they
really are, yeah.
Yeah. And then she suggests Viagra to him, and he is like, oh, Viagra. Does it cause that many issues? I'm like asking, like, you take it.
Exactly. I don't know, but that was 25 years ago.
Fair.
Maybe they didn't really know, or maybe it was more taboo.
Maybe, yeah. It's because it seems like Viagra seems like so normal.
It seems more normal now, but I'm sure that certain, you know, men find it to be, especially him. He's virile, young, good looking, successful.
But he's not
rich.
Virile. He's not.
He can run. He's powerful. Like, he's athletic. Maybe that's what I mean. Like, masculine and all these things. And he just can't come to terms with this.
So it's shameful that she asked him to go to try
for sure.
Viagra.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't talk about things like that. We don't talk about problems. We don't talk about weaknesses. We don't talk about that, you know?
But it's a major problem. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
So Charlotte flies to LA, and she's, to be honest, kind of unpleasant company.
She's terrible because she starts gloating to all of the gals about, like, how perfect her marriage is and, like, me, and lying to them in such a cruel way.
She's so glad to not be married and not have to carry condoms around in her purse.
Oh, condoms. Oh. I get another opportunity for Charlotte to shame people. So.
Exactly. And her her breakfast order is insane.
And don't you just hate that type of order? You probably do it. Do you do a crazy order, or are you like, what's on the menu? Thank you.
No, I don't do a crazy order. Sometimes I will swap out, because we go to this breakfast place because my husband's mother has, like, worked there for so long, and it's really delicious. And so I know all the menu hacks. But no, I'm not annoying. I'll be like, can I have, I like getting this dish. It's like a huevos rancheros, basically. But instead of hash browns, I get it with veggies. It's good.
Okay. Yo, that's good. I used to know a lot of fancy girls, a lot of fancy women back in my publishing days in Toronto. We would go to a restaurant, and I think it's like a control or a power thing, or I don't know, like a...
Yes, all those things.
Interesting. And
it's also textbook disordered eating.
Yeah, you're right. Change every element of it.
Wait, what would Jeannie Becker order?
I don't know what she would order. Of course I know what she would order. I was her waiter for many, many years. So the reason why I met Jeannie was because I worked at the cafe that she went into every morning. Uh-huh. And her order was a bran muffin every morning and a green tea. That's what Jeannie orders.
Really?
Yes. And it was, and they, these muffins were fabulous, like so good. And she kind of like started a trend in this restaurant, but it was a French patisserie, and the owners were like, why aren't people ordering the croissants?
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised she got a muffin. I feel like that's so, I feel a, like muffins.
A bran muffin and a green tea.
I feel like because of my disordered eating history, I'm like
no carbs, no carbs, no carbs.
Yeah, I'm like a muffin. You might as well eat a whole birthday cake.
Right? I know. You know? I'm the same way too, where I'm trying to change myself from that because I'm very much like no carbs, no carbs, no carbs, no carbs. Like no refined carbs, no sugar. I'm basically a Lou.
Do you eat brown rice?
We're starting, I don't eat any rice, but Matt's in his rice phase. So he's making a lot of like Japanese style bowls right now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm partaking once in a while. Yeah. But I'm doing like a quarter of the rice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't need much rice to enjoy it, right? No. The content that matters. Okay. So.
carbs, the carbs, content that matters. Carbs.
What's on your mind?
So the thing I'm most jealous about is that Carrie keeps mentioning all the stress-free pool time. I want stress-free pool time.
I know, me too. Although I am not a very much of a sun seeker. I cover up
100%. No, no, no. Shade. Huge pool. Hat. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Shade. I love it. No, I love a shade. I love a shaded pool dip. And then Carrie, the big thing is she meets Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, she meets Vince Vaughn. Well, first, Carrie and Samantha go to a movie premiere. She gets invited to a movie premiere and she's like, don't worry, Samantha. I have a press pass and I'll use that press pass to gain us every type of access there is. And I'm like, I was a journalist and there is nothing such as a press pass. I don't know. Is this an old American thing? Like, you don't have like an ID that says you're a card carrying journalist. What's a press pass? Just her invite?
I think, remember at the Stampede, we used to get press passes at the Stampede and you got all access.
So when they invited her, they sent her a pass to the hotel maybe, because you know that that's how it used to happen too. I used to arrange all the haute couture and prêt-à-porter and New York Fashion Week. And so all of the invitations would arrive at the hotel. And have a stack of handwritten calligraphy invitations from, you know, Yves Saint Laurent and everything.
Oh, really? For Jeannie?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
Like a stack. So that's probably what happened for Carrie. It was sent to the hotel because they knew she was there. How did they know to invite her?
She's a pretty low rent.
She doesn't have an email. How did they invite her?
I don't. And she doesn't even go to the movies. She's not allowed in. And then Marsha. No, not Marsha. Which one? One of the girls from the Brady Bunch.
Oh, and she's like, you're not on the list.
Yeah, you're not on the list. Everybody goes.
Everybody goes to the movie.
Yeah, but that's who. What's her name from?
I loved her. She's from the Brady Bunch movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Brady Bunch movie so much. Part one and two with Shelley Long. Oh my goodness. They're brilliant.
This is the new one.
The new one.
Yeah.
Where they go up and down
Ben the escalator. Ben Stiller's wife, isn't it? Oh. She's Marsha. Marsha.
Wait a second. What do you mean the new one?
The new one.
How old is the new one?
Let me see.
From 2000, 1998. Are we talking new or old new?
Like Brady Bunch. Yeah, it was Shelley Long.
Shelley Duvall, I was saying. Can you imagine it was Shelley Duvall? Shelley Long. And one of their outings is that they just go to Sears and go up and down the escalators. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Jennifer Elise Cox. She was Jan. She was Jan
what
Brady.
What else did she do?
I don't know what else she's done. She's funny, though.
She's very funny.
Oh, she's doing like one episodes of stuff.
No, that's too bad. I thought she was very good in that movie. Okay. Yeah, as you know, I love the Brady Bunch movies. So they're annoyed. They're like, let's get out of here. And Samantha tries to go get the Mustang from valet parking. And Vince Vaughn is like, hey, girls, you don't need to, you know, you can come through the back door. So they go into this party and she's ushered into this world of Vince Vaughn, who seems to be the most powerful man in Hollywood.
Yeah. But then you realize in retrospect that all the calls he's taking are like, can you please feed the cat? She has digestive issues.
And they go see Lorenzo Lamas's $3 million house, which again, she's in the car with like really, truly a total stranger. In the Hollywood Hills. Like, it just seems like it's sorry. I'm not trying to say, I'm not victim blaming. And I don't
I know you're not.
That's what it is. But I'm like, really?
Yeah, it's unsafe. It is unsafe. But we all know that she makes unsafe choices. So
she has a good line in there, though. She goes, and there I was in the South American's living room. My Brazilian made me want to kiss him.
Yeah.
Very funny. It's all spurred by this Brazilian wax. I'd love to experience that in my life, but.
Really? I think they do them.
I have no vagina. I don't have a vulva. I don't have any of that. I can't experience what she's experiencing.
You can get a male Brazilian.
I sure could. and Vince Vaughn, his big juicy lips.
I like him. I like his banter.
But it really illustrates that basically, everyone looks good young. And you just don't know how you're going to age. Yeah.
You don't think he's aged well?
No, no. He's only 53. Do you know that he's only 53 right now? He's not. He's younger than Carrie.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. He does so much, though. Because he's a producer, right?
He's the kind of person who can let himself go to pot in one day. Do you know what I mean? Like, he could gain 80 pounds.
He doesn't carry weight well.
He doesn't carry weight well. He lets salt get to him. Like, a hangover looks really bad. But yeah, at like his freshest, oh, very cute. Yeah.
I do like him. I like him.
I do, too. I like him. True Detective.
I mean, that was such a bad season.
That was the worst season. That was, he was robbed.
I wouldn't kick him out of the hot tub. So on that note, okay,
Time machine. Wasn't he in that?
I feel like that could be a movie he was in. So he and Carrie, so he takes Carrie to the Spanish colonial house that she thinks is his.
Yes, and they get into the hot tub. It's beautiful. And they get into the hot tub.
They get into the hot tub.
She takes off her top, which is not a Carrie thing.
I think it's her bottom, but she takes off something. Bottoms? And then the whole time I was like, think of all the chlorine and harsh chemicals on her poor bare vulva.
Think of all of the other people's skin cells. That foam. You know that foam?
Yes.
That skin, I think.
Ugh.
Floating, skimming the surface.
The only time I like a hot tub is after a day of skiing. Ugh.
I never like, you know, I get actually quite nauseous in a public hot tub because they're so chlorine.
So much chlorine, yeah.
So much chlorine. So they're already at a deficit. They're stinky. So, and she's smoking all over this house. I mean,
I hope they don't have sex in that hot tub.
I have a sense that they had sex in that bed. In that bed. Yeah. Is that a bedroom or a living room? I couldn't tell what room that was.
Yeah, there's a weird headboard in the middle of the room, which is bad feng shui.
It's bad feng shui. Very bad, because the entrance is obviously behind them, and you can't see who's coming in. Your feet need to be facing the door, no?
Yep. Yep. Feng shui, people. It's a thing.
It's a thing. And I once met with an interior decorator who's like, and she was kind of rough. And she was like, I feng shui the shit out of this house.
Because it's such an egregious, you have seen the feng shui out of this house. Hey, have you watched the new Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, but I just saw a review for it. Is it good?
It's very, very violent. It was almost like, I was watching it with staff last night. But like, oh my God, Jake Gyllenhaal, whatever he did for his body is insane.
It is the Lou diet. He is chewing a steak, spitting it on Maggie.
And then just like lifting like tractor trailers.
Oh, tires.
Yeah. That, like, seriously, Google it. It's insane.
His body has always been insane, but yeah. I don't think it's very attractive. I actually don't find him very attractive. So
no, I don't find him very attractive either. But there's something about the UFC fighting body, because it's like a functional.
Oh, I like that.
Right? It's not like a Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's like a swimmer's body, like a real athlete's body.
It's a super athlete's body, but they have big lats and big biceps and like big quads. Like
he's doing.
It's functional because it's a fighter. It's like it's Muay Thai. And
speaking of,
you know,
bodies and older people, but people who are aging quite well. I'm watching Palm Royale.
Oh, I'm started watching that too.
It's really fun. It's frothy. It's basically this show.
I love the outfits. Yeah, insane.
It's just fun. And Ricky Martin, hey.
Oh my God, Ricky Martin. Hi. So he has some fillers in his face, but he looks amazing.
It looks like they're digitally putting a filter on every scene of his, like on his face. I can't make heads or tails of it, but his body. Have you seen the scene where he just is in a Speedo the whole time?
Playing the trumpet?
There's that. And then he's, anytime he's in that house, he's always just naked, kind of.
Yeah. He looks great. But I do have to complain about that trumpet scene, because it's him playing a song and his fingers don't move once.
Not at all. And I was thinking, is this one of those songs that's just embouchure work? Anyway, so
you're like, his lips are his extremely flexible. So the big reveal about Vince Vaughn is that he's actually just Carrie Fisher's assistant.
Which is brilliant. I love Carrie Fisher.
Me too.
I love her. R.I.P. I love her acting. I love her writing. I love her everything that she ever did. So
yeah,
poor thing.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
And that's a very good scene. Very funny. And oh, Carrie Fisher keeps referring to Carrie as a prostitute.
Yeah. And then Carrie tries to be like, I'm a writer. You're a writer.
I'm a writer.
And Carrie Fisher's like, I have a child.
child. You understand, right?
Yeah. Like, I can't. Please leave.
And then they go to the Playboy Mansion, which is gross and filled with boobs. And it's tit soup everywhere. And it's a man. And a man with Charlotte telling her he's going to buy her big boobs. And...
yeah, it's just, I feel like now that we know, I mean, even at the time.
Even then, really?
Like, the Playboy Mansion just seemed it's sleazy, right? It's like, these women are not, they're not treated as people here. They're all just objects.
Absolutely. And they're, and even
and we think it's sexy?
When you have, when, even when Samantha meets Hugh Hefner in that restaurant, in the party, he's like, sit on my lap?
I know.
Gross. No, yeah. He's an old, ugly, gross man, and maybe at one time Playboy was an important kind of thing, but it turned into porn. It's just porn at the end.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's, the thing that's kind of a shame about it is that there is, like, fabulous narrative nonfiction in Playboy.
Playboy has some of the best, like, Truman Capote wrote for Playboy.
Yes!
Like, all the best, like, Hunter S. Thompson wrote, for, like, all these great writers, and does that happen? Is Playboy even published anymore?
I wonder if it's just online. I remember his son was originally going to be like, we're not going to do nudity anymore. And then he was like, just kidding. We're going to do nudity. Oh, Playboy magazine is closing down.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. I mean, in the age of Pornhub.
2020.
So Samantha thinks that one of the women at the party stole her Fendi, and then they do an embarrassing reveal.
Oh, wait.
That-
Playboy is relaunching its iconic magazine.
It's relaunched. This is a real roller coaster. A Playboy roller coaster.
As a digital front end for its recently launched OnlyFans like creator platform.
A creator platform.
Yeah.
I don't think they mean like, but their type of content creator isn't like a blog, like discussing.
No, it's tit soup.
Issue. It's tit soup. Yeah, it's more than that.
Sorry, go ahead. So Samantha accuses a bunny of stealing her Fendi.
Yeah. And it happens to be real, and they
yeah, and then unfortunately, so she's out the $150 fake bag, $2,000 in credit card charges,
and 100 condoms.
Yeah, and like 300 days supply of condoms. Yeah, and then they decide to leave.
And they leave. They go.
They leave.
They're done. They're done with LA. Yeah. And Carrie gets back to her apartment and felt really real. Like, you're back to real life. Like, there's some angst there.
Well, she does say that she's starting to feel like herself again, and the rest of her will grow back eventually as she scratches her pubic line.
And takes the biggest drag, like, fills that room with almost like a vape-like cloud of tobacco.
I also remember I said I almost got myself addicted to cigarettes again last fall, and I just kind of, why am I? It's bad.
Is it bad? Yeah, it's bad. Well, you could do one a week. That's my prescription.
I think that they say even one cigarette is awful. So I don't think I can.
No,
I don't think I have an addictive personality. Like, I there's nothing I'm really addicted to, but man, cigarettes are like.
I'd have to say that cigarette, whatever it does for you physically, I'd have to say for someone who doesn't smoke around someone who's even had one cigarette, it's gross to smell. It's in your hair. You have big kooky Carrie hair. You'd have it all like in your aura. It's not a nice look.
God. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
You do. You have nice, big, gorgeous hair.
Oh my God, stop it. I have so much white coming in and I'm actually here for it. But that's
but
the
you also
nicest
have like
thing.
Blonde. You know, it's really nice. You have the Carrie color too.
Stop it. That is the nice. I wish this was recorded so we could listen to it again.
There's no witness. Very few out in the podcast. Only a few witnesses out there.
Except for our friends in the Czech Republic.
Number one. Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah. We're number one in
pals.
The Czech Republic. You know, I think, okay, what's the next one? It's Hot Girl. No.
We are almost at the end of this
We're
season,
almost
and
at
this
the end
has
of
been what a delight.
Hot Child in the City.
Hot Child in the City. This has been a delight of a run.
This season
loved it.
Is lovely. It's so fun, and I really just can't wait for season four. I think it's my favorite, ultimately my favorite season. So
it is really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lots of good things happen in season four.
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of good interaction, a lot of meat, a lot of things for Carrie to do.
Well, and then remember there's a lot of really good episodes coming up. I also really love the last episode of this Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Well, I don't think we have much more to say about this one, though. Hey?
No, we don't. We came, we watched, we took a sip of tit soup, and we decided we didn't like it.
We stirred the tit soup, and we're out of here, just like the girls.
Well, have a great week. Please, thank you so much for sharing all your feedback with us and for liking and subscribing
on social and sending us slide into our DMs anytime. You know, we'll talk about it.
Yep. We're at And Just Like What Pod. At Just Like What Pod on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
And justlikewhat.com on the interweb.
Yep. And we're available on all, anywhere you can get your podcasts.
All streaming platforms.
And I'm so sorry if there's a Taco Bell commercial in here, but those like tater tots, sometimes they just hit the spot.
That's a one penny per stream. Okay. Until next time.
Until next time. Bye. Bye.